Good morning, Seattle and Little Saigon and those places beyond the great sea. Good morning to all of the sailboats now traveling for the New World. Good morning to the trains that are currently moving across this country at breakneck speed. Good morning to the caribou and the great elk and to the eagle that flies in the sky. Good morning to all the creatures of the Puget Sound. It is just after midnight in Seattle, Washington. Good morning to the cats and the dogs, the rats and the pigs. It's just after midnight on January the 7th, 2020, the year of the rat. Good morning to all the farmers currently farming for potatoes. Good morning to all the people crabbing in the Gulf of Alaska, pulling whatever they can pull out from the bottom of that sea. Good morning to Little Saigon, to all the grumbly folk that wander about, to all the lost souls who are currently wassailing their way back from the bar, to all the young folk who get too drunk because they're so tired about the bleakness of their future. Good morning to you too. Good morning. Have you ever considered the possibility that O.J. Simpson was actually innocent? I know you're saying to yourself, Dan, did you just get done watching season one of American, crime story or whatever, the O.J. Simpson story, and you thought to yourself, maybe O.J. was innocent. Maybe O.J. was innocent. Maybe we don't really understand the nature of reality to be quite sure if O.J. ever did anything. I'm not saying that there wasn't somebody, something that looked like O.J. that did something terrible. That's not really what I'm saying. But have I ever told you that the now, the here and now is a lot fuzzier than you might realize? It's the here and the now, the leading edge and the trailing edge of time, the turbulence of free will and causality. What if sometime, in 1994, some type of cosmic event occurred. This cosmic force basically disrupted the general space-time continuum bullshit. And in the process of ripping through the fabric of space and time, in the here and now, in the moment of the now, where OJ was so pissed, so angry. He wanted to kill Nicole, but he also knew that he could not. O.J. Simpson on the night that Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were murdered. O.J. Simpson went to their place. They went to that residence. He went to that locality with the intention of harming Nicole Brown Simpson. But then a cosmic string, a cosmic fluke, a chunk of dark matter, a brown dwarf that drifted too close to the heliosphere. All of these events tore the now, the N-O-W, stretched it, tore it. And for a brief moment, for about 5 minutes, maybe 10, there were two O.J. Simpsons. There was the O.J. Simpson that was horrified by everything he saw, to the point that he would have selective amnesia, to the point that he went a little crazy. O.J. Simpson, he saw it all. He saw his torn self go and harm his ex-wife and her sexy white boyfriend. But he didn't do it. The universe, in its great perspicacity or persistence or random generosity, the universe will produce every once in a while flukes of nature, like the platypus, like the French bulldog. Oh, what unholy miracles allow that thing to exist. Like Uncle Dan. There's no reason I should still exist. I am nearly 100% salt because of my diet. My heart is pretty much crystalline calcium at this point. There's reason to believe that I am, in fact, now exactly what I eat. Hydrogenated, preserved, well salted, and high in sodium. I shouldn't be alive, but yet I am. So you can say to yourself, Dan, are you sure O.J. Simpson didn't do it? Am I sure that O.J. Simpson didn't do it? I don't know, folks. I don't know. Let me put it this way. I think it is more likely that O.J. Simpson did not do it than the story we've been given about 9/11 is true. So let's put it this way. I think 9/11 story being bullshit is way more likely than O.J. Simpson's story being bullshit. There are at least, you know, a bazillion plausible ways in which, and some quite implausible, maybe incredible, like that's incredible, there are ways in which O.J. could have been innocent. There are so many ways, but how exactly do you believe the story of 9/11 without just turning off your brain? That's a good question. Well, the answer is you got to turn off your brain. For fear of the horrible truth the horrible truth that yes, O.J. Simpson was not the victim of a cosmic accident. O.J. Simpson was probably not the victim of a racist LAPD. O.J. Simpson probably killed his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. And guess what? 9/11, the story they told you, the story about the terrorists and the box cutters, that story's probably bullshit. I know, you don't want to hear it, but I'm sorry, we need to think about that. Before we get ready to turn Tehran into a glass parking lot, which seems to be the consensus amongst the crazy grumbly folk, maybe we should consider the possibility that there never were weapons of mass destruction, that O.J. Simpson probably did do it. The Gulf of Tonkin was total bullshit, so was the Maine explosion and the Spanish Civil War, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we totally set up the Japanese to attack us. You do understand, we cut off all oil and steel. Welcome, 14th century. And on top of all that bullshit, keep in mind, the story of 9/11 is probably bullshit. Just saying. Gonna drink a little bit of water here. So, where are we at in the great discontinuity? Well, I think, even though this may be tricky because the old engine is pretty burnt out, I think we're in the crack-up-boom scenario with respect to the United States and potentially every other foolish nation that wants to jump on. But we're also got this thing that seems to be kind of, you know, festering with respect to Iran. And here's my view on the Iran thing. If I was in charge of Iran, this would be my next move. I would not attack or kill any generals. I would probably continue the petty attacks, you know, with guerrilla forces, because what the fuck? That just aggravates the U.S., right? But what I would do, toot sweet, like immediately, like as soon as possible, I would test a nuclear weapon. I would do it publicly, or as publicly as you can, without irradiating your neighbors. But yeah, I would make it pretty fucking obvious that you tested a nuke, that the nuke works, and guess what? You have nukes now, and you also have pretty decent intermediate range ballistic missiles, and you're probably only a few weeks away from sticking one of your nukes on a fucking missile. Now you're saying, Dan, aren't you a proud American? Why would you be giving this advice to this enemy? Well, first, I don't think the Iranian people are my enemy. The Iranian government might be fucked, but the problem is so is our government. Okay? So if this is a competition between which government is worse, well, they're both equally bad. They both are quite terrible. And they're both doing great harm. Now, we do more harm because our government's more powerful. That's just a matter of scale, folks. That doesn't have anything to do with virtue. That's just scale. So, yeah, Iran, Iran, dear mullahs, if you've got the time and the energy, you need to get that nuke going. You need to test yourself a little fission device in the mountains. Not far from Tehran, right? I would make it about 20 kilotons. That way, it'll be kind of obvious. And who knows, if you want to really get classic, I would do the testing above ground. And you say, well, Dan, that's terrible. All the classic powers that Security Council, they're all opposed to testing nukes above ground, really? What about that, that fucking cruise missile the Russians have that has a little nuclear reactor in it and seems to irradiate the sky as it flies? Yeah. And if you're saying, well, that's just the Russians. No, I think the U.S. does shit like that, too. If you don't know anything about hypersonic technology, for a very long time it was tough to crack. It wasn't just a question of material science and aerodynamics, it was also a question of how do you make a scramjet, which is a hypersonic ramjet, you know, essentially a jet engine that doesn't have any turbine blades. How do you make that work and function at 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 10,000 miles per hour? And these all seem like trivial. Oh, that's trivial. No, it's not actually trivial, though. And because it's non-trivial, for a long time, people thought it would not be possible. I don't know how they cracked it, but I recently heard a podcast by a dude who basically believes they cracked it by using nuclear material. That all of these hypersonics are using a little bit of basically a thermoelectric, a really hot, very, very radioactively hot, basically radioelectric battery, but basically a very small amount of material that is boosting the combustion process somehow. Again, I think this may be a flaky story. It may not be real, but also file this under, I wouldn't be surprised if it were true. And we know the Russians are doing their whole nuclear-powered, you know, cruise missile test, which is horrible. So, no, I think if they did an above-ground test, they would probably get a lot of anger. And definitely, you can add the environmentalists to the list of people screaming. But in some ways, that just creates useful disarray. Like, having lots of fucking people screaming, having lots of turbines, like, with their little fucking fuses lit, that only creates disarray. And that only helps the Iranians. It really does. It doesn't hurt them. It's basically like dropping smoke to confuse the enemy's targeting abilities. That's what that does. So anyways, dear Iran, as if you listened to Uncle Dan or the Little Saigon Report, but dear Tehran, whatever, if I were you, I would get off your asses and test a nuke real fast. Because if you test one real fast, a lot of the American people who are really gung-ho right now would probably be less gung-ho. Probably. I mean, yeah, you could come out and say, well, even if they have a nuke, we could still take... Yeah, we could. And they could also still do a lot of damage. So all of a sudden, the calculus of, well, it's going to be a nice, easy little war that won't hurt us. I mean, technically, the Iranians do not have the throw weight to hit us, but... You can always stick a nuke on a boat, people. You can always stick a nuke on a boat. And if you think or believe that we have the oceans of the world completely wired up, oh boy, we really don't. So yeah, mullahs in Iran, test that nuke, please, soon, right? And if you haven't guessed, I'm not a big fan of going to war with Iran. I'm not a fan of any of these stupid wars. I am kind of relieved that we're finally taking down the bullshit. You know, Trump, listen, whatever you want to say about Trump, he is telling it as it is. For years and years and years, we had politicians doing exactly the same shit. Exactly the same nasty, conniving, dark, murderous, monstrous bullshit. But they would walk around and use language like, well, we're doing this for humanitarian reasons. We're going into Libya to take care of that war criminal Gaddafi. Oh, that terrible Assad, we gotta take care of him and we gotta help out. Oh, the white helmets, oh yeah, they're great, huh? You see, we've had president after president that does this bullshit. This bullshit of trying to convince us that the shit we're doing is for some sort of principled reason. That was always bullshit. So say what you will about Trump, but at least he's actually saying, no, we're doing this because we're fucking pirates. This is what pirates do. Oh, there's oil there? Oh, fuck. Maybe we can have it. Oh, there's lithium there? Shit. Maybe we can steal it. Oh, fuck. Did you tell me you've got coltan? In butane? Fuck. You got butane in butane too? Fuck. And of course, we've got our heroin in Afghanistan for Friday night. If there is no God, everything is dead. It's something to think about because the concept of life and death to me has always seemed a bit ridiculous. It really does, because the only difference between what we call a living thing and what we call a dead thing is, for the most part, a relative definition of complexity and dynamic behavior. I'm not saying that living things aren't interesting, but if you break them down, they're really just janky-ass hierarchies of organic chemistry. And yeah, they mostly work and they do a great job of transmitting information, yada, yada, yada. But still, we're just talking about some janky-ass conglomeration, a confederation of dunces, lots of little fucking cells working together to keep some chunk of glumbus believing it's alive. And each cell, it doesn't even remotely have that thought, people. Those cells probably don't have thoughts like that. Oh, maybe they do. I joke about it like bacteria. But for the moment, let's just assume that these cells do not have these thoughts. And that if you really think about it, as amazingly complex as these individual cells are, they're still just conglomerations of a lot of fancy chemistry. And at that scale, I don't think anybody would say, oh, but there's a soul there, there's a spirit. Is there? Are there souls and spirits in bacteria and paramecium? In the tiny little spiders that crawl on your skin, are there little souls? I don't think so. So if there are no little souls, then to me, I kind of have to agree with Descartes to a certain extent. They're just complex machines. Very, very complex dynamic systems. With the ability to store information, to process materials in the environment, but that's what they are, right? And in that sense, what does it mean to be alive? If you tell me something's alive because it can reproduce, okay, that's interesting, but then that doesn't mean a lot to me. Like, oh, you can reproduce, or you can do this, or you can do that. If there is no God, there is no purpose, there is no meaning. If there is no God, there is nothing there. And if you come back and say, well, Dan, I'm a Luciferian, so for me, I get to pick Lucifer, well, that's fine. The problem is that your religion is even worse. So even if my religion is bullshit, yours is not just bullshit in a world without God. Yours is worse than that. Yours is just really nasty, evil bullshit, dear Luciferian. And you may wonder, Dan, why are you going down this strange questioning? Like, if there is no God, then everything is dead. Well, because I can't see life without there being something more than just chemistry. I'm not saying that chemistry doesn't explain a lot. Chemistry and physics explains a lot. Frankly, the universe is reasonably understood at this point. But it doesn't explain everything. And as advanced as computers are, and they are getting very advanced, they still look a lot like, a crude representation. Almost as if, you were looking at something like the Picasso representation of what it means to be human. You've got a lot of squares, you got a lot of circles, you got something that looks like a face, but do you have a person or a really crappy rendition of a person? Don't know. I don't know. I don't even think this podcast is going anywhere I want it to go. it's a weird subject, but I had this thought today that without God, everything is dead. Or rather, there's just no good notion of life for me. But again, it's kind of a vague notion, so please forgive me. It's after midnight. I'm not even sure what I want to talk about right now. Maybe we should close this out as a short podcast or. Maybe we can talk about something else. Maybe we can talk about falling in love after midnight. Falling in love after midnight on a dark Seattle city sidewalk. Living in a home made out of cardboard and plastic tarp. Falling in love after midnight on a dark and rainy, wintry Seattle night. Falling in love. Groping and grabbing and scrambling. Falling in love after midnight in Seattle's dangerous people. Yeah, I don't know about falling in love at all, or falling in love in Seattle, or falling in love in Seattle on a rainy night after midnight. I think if you're out there, you're probably thinking about how do I get home? How do I get warm? How do I get rid of the parasites in my brain? Are you thinking about love? Are you thinking about love or are you thinking about leftovers? What do you call it, falling in love after midnight on a rainy, or on a rainy, miserable, drizzly, cold, wet, fucked up Seattle after midnight in January? You feel all the parasites eating away at your skin. All of your insides are filled with nothing but boiling juices of pain. Falling in love like that is totally insane, and yet you do. Maybe you met some girl at the bar. You met some girl at a bar in Pioneer Square. Maybe you were in Ballard. You fell in love with a girl at a bar in Ballard. You told her, "I used to work on a fishing boat, baby. I used to work on a fishing boat, baby. I used to work on a fishing boat. A fishing boat. Some type of boat, and we would catch fish." Yeah, you tell her stories about fishing in the Gulf of Alaska. You tell her stories of being at sea and worrying about whether or not a wave will toss you into the ocean. Will you be instantly eaten by dolphin wolves? The dolphin wolves of the Gulf of Alaska are considered the most horrible beasts of the great sea. They're 70% dolphin, and the rest is all wolf. And honey, when you're being chased by dolphin wolves in the Gulf of Alaska, while fighting polar bear with your bare hands, naked, does that make you hot, baby? Does that make you hot? Of course, the girl's name is Wilhelmina. She's no ordinary girl, no. She's no everyday girl you're going to meet in a bar after midnight. She's the kind of girl who's really put together. She has nice size boobs, really nice, luscious thighs. She's very, very well proportioned, not fat at all, really. Her name is Wilhelmina McGee. You met her at a bar in Ballard. You told her about how you're a famous fisherman. You told him about going up to Alaska. You told her about the dolphin wolves. You told her about wrestling polar bears naked. You told her she was hot, and she smiled. Yeah, I don't know about falling in love after midnight. But here's what I will tell you. I've already stolen enough of your time for today. This is not a properly lengthened podcast, but maybe that's good too. Maybe we don't always have to talk. Maybe sometimes we can listen. Maybe sometimes we can even listen to the tempo of the world. We can listen to the chime and the heartbeat and the vibration of reality. We can open up our heart to those things that fly about through the sky. We can allow ourselves to be deblicticated by reality multiple times and three times on Sunday. Maybe you can take a break and not fall in love. Maybe you can give up on the bullshit of love. Maybe you can give up on the lies of love. maybe you can give up on all that bullshit. I don't know what to tell you. If you're going to listen to my podcast, I don't have love because I can't find love. And you know what? If you're not looking for love, you probably don't want any love. Sure, we all have dreams of falling in love in some romantic way. Falling in love with a woman. Or if you're a woman, falling in love with a man. Or if you're gay, just finding somebody the same gender and saying, you know what? Yeah. We all want to fall in love, but I'm telling you, it's dangerous. The best parts of you will be exposed. The worst parts of you will be deposed. Every part of you will be chopped up and carved up and owned. Your money will be told that it's not all your money anymore. Yeah, you won't get to eat the food you want to eat no more. You'll probably have to quit smoking cigarettes. I got really good at it, really. Yeah, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what you want from me because I am not a doctor of love or a doctor of romance. My PhD is in desperation. My master's degree is in being a drifter. You're not going to find out anything from me about love. You might find out that I have been used up by love and therefore scorned by love and therefore bitter about love and therefore not someone you want to talk to if you're in love. I'll tell you that the woman, she's a harlot. I'll tell you that the man is a jerk. And why would I do such a nasty thing? Because I hate love. Maybe that's it. It's January the 7th, 2020. It is almost 1 a.m. Probably is, isn't it? Maybe. Wherever you are, it probably is. Here in fashionable, exciting little Saigon, Seattle, it is nearly 1 a.m. in the Pacific Standard Time. Nearly 1 a.m. on January the 7th, 2020, in Seattle. It is rainy and windy, and the sky is screaming madness. Can you hear the voices of your own past screaming at you? Do you hear the chastened demon, the monstrous thingy lurking behind you called loneliness? Yeah, you don't want to fall in love after midnight. You don't want to fall in love with Wilhelmina McGee. She's dangerous. She's got all kinds of problems. You think she's beautiful, and she is. She's beautiful. She's 30 years old. She's got a degree in health sciences. What the fuck does that mean? She teaches some type of spin class. What the fuck does that mean, too, right? She was really offended by that Peloton commercial. And now you're thinking to yourself, wow, those dolphin wolves don't sound so bad. And as she talks to you about Elizabeth Warren, you imagine how great it would be to be wrestling grizzly bears naked in Alaska. And then she starts talking about her new friend who is a transgender, regenderified, trans wharf, half female, half male, half Klingon, and you said fuck to yourself. Maybe Wilhelmina's beautiful. Maybe she has very nice looking boobs and they might be real. But she's a real bitch. And you'd rather hang out with dolphin wolves and wrestle polar bears and have sex with Eskimos than Wilhelmina. If you have money and you've taken care of all of your problems, including people you love or want to fall in love with, if you currently are trying to save up for a new Japanese sex doll, one of the ones with, really realistic, looking, you-know-whats. If you're currently done saving up for your sex doll and taking care of business and you paid for your food, water, shelter, you've helped out your friends and family, you've taken care of all your pets and animals and your gimp upstairs, and you still have some money left over, you can donate to the Little Saigon Report. We have links to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. And on my homepage SoundCloud channel, which you can get to from imsully.com until I am shut down. But you know what? Like disco, they can never shut me down. You couldn't shut down disco, could you, master of time? Do you think you can shut me down just because it's 1 a.m.? Do you fuck?